Harper Audio presents White Witch, Black Curse by Kim Harrison. Performed by Marguerite Gavin. To the guy who finishes my sentences and gets my jokes, even the lame ones. Chapter 1. The bloody handprint was gone, wiped from Kiston's window, but not from my memory, and it ticked me off that someone had cleaned it, as if they were trying to steal what little recollection I retained about the night he'd died. The anger was misplaced fear, if I was honest with myself. But I wasn't. Most days it was better that way. Stifling a shiver from the December chill that had taken the abandoned cruiser, now in dry dock rather than floating on the river, I stood in the tiny kitchen and stared at the milky plastic as if willing the smeared mark back into existence. In the near distance came the overindulgent, powerful huff of a diesel train crossing the Ohio River. The scrape of Ford's shoes on the metallic boarding ladder was harsh, and worry pinched my brow. The Federal Inderland Bureau had officially closed the investigation into Kiston's murder. Inderland Security hadn't even opened one, but the FIB wouldn't let me into their impound yard without an official presence. That meant intelligent, awkward Ford, since Eden thought I needed more psychiatric evaluation and I wouldn't come in anymore. Not since I fell asleep on the couch and everyone in the FIB's Cincinnati office had heard me snoring. I didn't need evaluation. What I needed was something, anything, to rebuild my memory. If it was a bloody handprint, then so be it.
"Rachel, wait for me,"
the FIB's psychiatrist called, shifting my worry to annoyance. Like I can't handle this? I'm a big girl. Besides, there wasn't anything left to see. The FIB had cleaned everything up. Ford had obviously been out here earlier, given the ladder and the unlocked door, making sure everything was sufficiently tidy before our appointment. The clatter of dress shoes on teak pushed me forward, and I untangled my arms from themselves and reached for the tiny galley table for balance as I headed to the living room. The floor was still, which felt weird. Beyond the short curtains framing the now clean window were the dirty gray and brilliant blue tarps of boats at dry dock, the ground a good 6 feet below us.
"Will you hold up?"
Ford asked again, the light eclipsing as he entered.
"I can't help if you're a room away."
"I'm waiting," I grumbled, coming to a halt and tugging my shoulder bag up. Though he'd tried to hide it, Ford had some difficulty getting his butt up the ladder. I thought the idea of a psychiatrist afraid of heights was hilarious, until the amulet he wore around his neck turned a bright pink when I mentioned it, and Ford went red with embarrassment. He was a good man with his own demons to circle. He didn't deserve my razzing. Ford's breathing slowed in the chill silence. Wan but determined, he gripped the table, his face whiter than usual, which made his short black hair stand out and his brown eyes soulful. Listening in on my feelings was draining, and I appreciated his wading through my emotional crap to help me piece together what had happened. I gave him a thin smile, and Ford undid the top few buttons of his coat to reveal a professional cotton shirt and the amulet he wore while working. The metallic leyline charm was a visual display of the emotions he was picking up. He felt the emotions whether he was wearing the charm or not, but those around him at least had the illusion of privacy when he took it off. Ivy, my roommate and business partner, thought it stupid to break witch magic with human psychology in order to recover my memory, but I was desperate. Her efforts to find out who had killed Kiston were getting nowhere. Ford's relief at being surrounded by walls was almost palpable, and seeing him release his death grip on the table, I headed for the narrow door to the living room and the rest of the boat. The faint scent of vampire and pasta brushed against me, imagination stoked by a memory. It had been 5 months. My jaw clenched, and I kept my eyes on the floor, not wanting to see the broken doorframe. There were smudges of dirt on the low mat carpet that hadn't been there before, marks left by careless people who didn't know Kiston, had never known his smile, the way he laughed, or the way his eyes crinkled up when he surprised me. Technically, an Inderland death without human involvement was out of the FIB's jurisdiction, But since the IS didn't care that my boyfriend had been turned into a blood gift, the FIB had made an effort just for me. Murder was never taken off the books, but the investigation had been officially shelved. This was the first chance I'd had to come out here to try to rekindle my memory. Someone had nicked the inside of my lip trying to bind me to them. Someone had murdered my boyfriend twice. Someone was going to be in a world of hurt when I found out who they were.